brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Bruce Hall here with my man Matt Lynch on the box, keeping things straight. Probably keep me going all day long. This is gonna be a lot of fun. And by the way, that extra hour didn't do me any good. We're gonna start the show off. Clark Judge is supposed to call in here in a second. He's on the line. Clark, is this you?
It is me, Bruce.
Thank you so much for calling. Clark Judge, senior writer and NFL insider, and my favorite guy anywhere near the East Coast. Clark, I missed you. It's good to hear your voice. Let's talk a little bit about this, if you don't mind. Jonathan Martin, this kid from left tackle, actually, from the Miami Dolphins, who just after a couple of situations that have seemed to kind of explode on him, walked out of practice, actually, when they were eating, after practice, I imagine. And now it looks like he's going to be put on the unable to perform list and wants to be traded. Have you heard anything in addition to that at all?
Not really. I mean, it's the sort of thing where the Dolphins aren't saying much about it, nor should they. Sounds like it. He's got some personal issues he needs to take care of. And honestly, it's funny, but the first thing I thought of is if this were taking place at school, probably an issue that people would say it's bullying, right? I mean, from what we've heard, it looks like some players, or a player in particular, belittled him. He said, enough's enough, I've had it, and walked out and said, I'm not coming back. But whatever it is, clearly he wants to get away from there. Probably is in the best interest of both sides.
Well, you and I both know, because we come kind of from a sports background, we both know there's two ways you handle something like that. Well, there's three ways. You ignore it, and it sounds like he did it for a long time. He probably did ignore it. The other thing you do is you get up and leave. And the other thing you do is, there's nothing between me and you but air. I'm going to kick your friggin' butt. But it doesn't sound like this guy wanted to go that direction. I have a feeling sometimes things happen for a reason, if you know what I mean. And I think that maybe what this did was triggered an anxiety and depression problem he may have had for a long time, and just is starting to realize that. You know, it doesn't take much. It can be anything. Hopefully he'll get the help he needs, and that's what I'm praying for. Miami sure did come out with a kind of a victory. It didn't look like they were going to get it the other night. Did you get a chance to see that game?
Yeah, I watched it in its entirety.
Yeah, I was.
And I was actually more, when I say impressed, I mean the impression that was made on me was not so much Miami, what Miami did, it's what Cincinnati didn't do. If Cincinnati's going to move to that next level, and I think most of us are expecting that's going to happen this year, they didn't look like a team ready to do that night. Now, the season's still a long way from being over, but the Bengals should have closed that thing out. Andy Dalton looked as bad as he looked good the week before. That's disappointing to me. If I'm a Bengals fan, I look and I go, I don't know if these guys are ready for prime time. I don't know if these guys can make it to the top, because, you know, we all know they haven't won a playoff game since, I think, 1991, and they've had numerous chances under Marvin Lewis, and they've lost four times. So you look at this team now, and you think, you know, is Dalton's a different quarterback because he's got more weapons, right?
Right.
Well, he had the weapons the other night, and you know, he was throwing behind guys, and that interception at the goal line was a killer, and it was a bad throw. It was really a bad throw.
He made two bad throws.
Yeah. Oh, sure he did, at least two bad throws. But he needed – once they get to the overtime, you go, okay, now close them out. This is, the Dolphins are not worthy – of you should have taken care of them. You shouldn't have gotten this far with them. You should close them out now and move forward, because the Dolphins are on their heels. They've lost four straight. They're a team that's going nowhere. And look what happens. You get sacked in the end zone. That was also, I mean, you got to feel the pressure, get rid of the ball. So I was disappointed from the Cincinnati's point of view. Certainly Miami fans are encouraged, because in that race in the AFC East, maybe they're back in it, but as long as Tom Brady's around, I don't think they are.
Yeah, you know, their home record, they're tough at home. They're 4-0 at home, and on the road, they just seem to have problems. And you're absolutely right. Like, you know, watching Andy Dalton the week before, he didn't even look like the same guy. He looked like he was real tentative. It's almost like, you know, prime time, maybe tighten him up a little bit. And that could be it. And I think you're absolutely right. Marvin Lewis is a great coach. I won't say great, but he's a good head coach. You know, that's not a group there that makes too many changes. You know, he's been there for some time now. He was a great defensive coordinator in Baltimore. He's actually turned out some pretty good assistant coaches that have worked with him. He lets people do their job, and that's what I hear about Marvin. And I hear, if you ever watch him do an interview, and I know you've seen him do a bunch of them and listen to a bunch of them, Clark, one of the nicest guys to be around you can be. He's not an idiot. You know, he doesn't get upset. He's not sarcastic. He's a good guy. Hey, let's talk something that the people up in Westchester County and in our listening area want to hear about. The Jets. Talk about a team that just bounces up and down a little bit. How do you see this game today? Do they have a good shot today to win this game? Clark? I must have lost Clark. He'll probably call right back in. Clark, are you there?
I am.
Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. Yeah, what do you think about the Jets game today? Do they have a shot today with the Saints coming in there? What I see happening there is not what a lot of people see. I don't think Drew Brees is going to have 30-plus points today. I don't think the offense is going to. I think it's going to be a defensive, hard-hitting, physical game because of the Ryan brothers. What do you think?
Well, you asked me, do they have a shot? Yeah, they've got a shot. They don't have much of a shot. The Saints are a vastly better team than the Jets. The Jets aren't as bad as they were a week ago against Cincinnati, but they're not good enough to take these guys down unless Brees commits some mistakes. If that happens, they force the takeaway. Yeah, they've got a chance, but it depends on Geno Smith. Which Geno Smith shows up? He's up one week, he's down the next. And you look, Bruce, at, you know, and those losses, and the losses following wins, he's got one touchdown, 9 interceptions. And in the wins following losses, he's 3-0 following losses, and he's got 6 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. He's a different quarterback, so I don't know which guy is going to show up. If you know, the good Geno shows up today, they've got a chance, but again, not much of one. If the bad Geno shows up, they're going to get routed, and because the Saints can put a lot of points up in a hurry, and it doesn't mean that the Jets' defense can't be stout against these guys. What it means is if you give Drew Brees a short field, he's going to score some points.
Yeah, he is, and I'll tell you what. I mean, he does. They don't have to run the ball much. Their entire passing game is basically just getting the ball to the corners anyway and getting some yardage that way. I'm on the phone right now with Clark Judge, senior writer and NFL insider. Clark, let's talk about the Giants. I know it's a little painful for Giants fans to listen to, but at the halfway mark, they're in trouble, aren't they?
They're in real trouble. But, you know, it's funny. We talk about the Jets and the Giants. The Jets are 2 games out of first, right?
Right.
So are the Giants. But they're 2-6.
Right.
And people here, I live in New York, they know what's going on with his team, and what's going on with his team is nothing. Their offensive line's not any good. They can't run the ball. Peyton Hillis has given a little bit of a shot, but they can't run the ball. Eli Manning's not been himself because they're playing from behind. He turns the ball over a ton. Defensively, they haven't been able to get to anyone until the last couple weeks. Well, they played bad teams. I mean, they played, you know, Josh Freeman was awful. Then you look at last week against Philadelphia. Boy, it was worse. And they were able to get to the quarterback, one reason, because Matt Barkley held the ball forever.
Right.
But they've got so many issues, Bruce. The linebackers aren't very good. The secondary is okay, but nothing more than okay. But if you can't get to the quarterback, they're going to pick you apart. And that's what's happened against decent opponents. They're not just picking them apart. They are having their way with the Giants. And forced to come from behind, Eli's turning the ball over. So you've got a quarterback that people know is a proven quarterback and really nothing else around him. The running game and the offensive line that could protect him, both of which can protect him. You can protect a quarterback with a running game as well as an offensive line, aren't there. So he's exposed. And honestly, you take a guy like Hakeem Nicks, who was a terrific wide receiver for him a year ago, 2 years ago. He's in a contract year. He's dropping every other ball. So it's come to the point where even Tom Coughlin's called him out. If there are a lot of issues here. It's a bad team.
You know, Matt's sitting there pretending like he's
Don't even talk to me about
He's
Hakeem
on his
Nicks.
Fantasy team. He's dying with Hakeem Nicks. We got about 30 seconds, Clark, and I can't thank him. I'm on the phone with Clark Judge here, NFL insider, senior writer, one of the best NFL guys you can ever listen to. Do you have a game that you like the most today, Clark?
There are not many good ones out there.
No, there's not. It's the halfway mark. There weren't that many good NCAA games either.
No, there weren't. You're absolutely right. But the game I like best, honestly, if I'm asked to choose, other than Chicago, Green Bay, Monday night. But today, it's the Jets and the Saints, just because of what you're talking about. Which Saints team is going to show up? Is it going to be the team that's going to put up 40 points, or is it going to be a team that's going to be in a dogfight with the Jets? But more important, which Jets team is going to show up? They win one, they lose one. They win one, they lose one. It's about time they won a couple games in a row or lose a couple games in a row. They should lose this game. But I want to find out about the Jets because they're playing a marquee opponent. I think we do find about the Jets and Geno.
Oh, you will today for sure. Clark Judge, ladies and gentlemen. Clark, thank you so much for calling in, buddy.
Thanks, Bruce.
All right. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. We got a phone call. We got a phone call coming in. Matt just gave me the phone call signal. I guess he was practicing it.
No, I told you, this is the signal I'll give you if he calls in.
Anyway, Tim Lavin's going to call in, Walk On You author. Great, great book. I read three quarters of the book like in one night. I couldn't put it down because it reminded me so much kind of my experience when I went to college, because I was a walk-on in two sports and a two-time Southern Conference champion in wrestling, and I made the varsity baseball team as a freshman, both as walk-ons. And he's written a really interesting book called Walk On You. Hopefully I'll get him to call right back here. Matthew, let me ask you a question. And this is very, very important.
This can't be good.
No, don't worry about it. I'm just kidding. That's funny, Matt. You're funny. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the World Series, because you wanted me to mention it. Not that it's a big deal. Yes, it is. St. Louis, I picked to win the series before the series. I was wrong. God, did they just blow up. This was a Boston Red Sox year. The Boston Red Sox were the team that wanted it the most. And Big Poppy hit like 788, 783, some ridiculous number. And they walked him the last game, next to last game, four times. Which is, if you know anything about me, on-base percentage is everything. If you don't touch first base, you don't get anywhere. And the Boston Red Sox, literally, in my opinion, just were one of the better teams. You saw they win it in six. It was a great time. They had the parade yesterday in Boston, and everybody was talking about what a great time it was, and yada-da, yada-da. And I think that's important, but God, it's not that important. We got a phone call. Tim Lavin.
Hey.
Tim, how are you, buddy? You got it. Listen, I apologize. We at the station, sometimes we all of our lines get tied up while we're still on the air with somebody. But it's great to have you. Tim Lavin, former player at Southern Cal, University of Southern California, was there at the same time Junior Seau. And a lot of what you talk about in your book, Walk On You, correct? It has to do with some of the experiences you had having to block the guy every day. Tell us first of all about your book. What caused you to write this book? Because we met two or three weeks ago over the telephone, and this is the first time I've been able to interview on the air. And I got to tell you, I couldn't put the book down. I read three quarters of the book in one day. And now I can't even find the book because the maids came and they cleaned the house. And, I can find all the books I've finished, but I can't find that one. But I got to tell you, I love the book. I'm big on walk-ons. You and I both know how I feel about NCAA football. I hate the NCAA, too. Now, I'll tell you a quick story about my son real quick. My son starts out at the University of Tennessee as a walk-on, but the coaches invited him to come to Tennessee, but he's not a scholarship player, so he's technically a walk-on. He gets a 1.0 average first semester, so now he's not only a walk-on, he's on academic probation. So Davis leaves there at the end of the year because we're not sending him back to Knoxville again because he had too much fun, and he goes to a Division III school so he can play ball right away. You understand that. So he goes to a Division III school, Virginia Wesleyan. He plays for a year, and he lights it up because he's really a Division I pitcher. He's been pitching in Division III. Now he wants to go back to Division I. So I put a deal together with his old pitching coach, Fred Corral, at the University of Memphis. He goes back to Memphis, does great, gets a 3.8 average his first semester. I mean, his grade point average, even though he's losing a few credits here and there, is way up. It's like a 2.7, 2.8. Then something happens. He decides he doesn't want to go back in the spring because he really hated sitting. Does that make sense to you? That year that you have to sit again, I mean, it just was too much. So then he goes back and he doesn't want any help again. He goes to Shepherd, which is a Division II school. He walks on. He's going to be on the team. The only thing Davis forgot to check on was his eligibility with the NCAA. They have a 4-4 rule. You're familiar with it. Four four-year schools in four years. You have to sit another year, which is ridiculous because he's never been a scholarship player. I mean, walk-on kid should never have to sit. I mean, but I understand the rule, but it's a stupid rule in his case. We actually challenged the rule at the NCAA level twice. We appealed it and then challenged it. Nothing. Yet, some of these guys, like, you know, I can't remember where it is. I couldn't even tell you, but I know of a kid who's coming out of the military, and he's 25 years old that's going to get to walk right on to a team and play varsity baseball in the spring, even though he's just getting out of the Army. So I just don't understand it. Tell me about what caused you to write this book and what it entails, what the book's all about.
Yes. Well, first, thank you for having me. I'm really excited about Walk On You, and you can get the book at walkonyou.com. I started writing it truly about 5 years ago. In 1988, when I walked on at USC, I was kind of exposed to a world that I was not thinking was going to come my way. I was a pretty good high school player and was a little puzzled why I did not get a scholarship. I was second in rushing and scoring in Southern California my senior year in high school, and the guy who was number one and the guys in 3 through 10 on that list of rushing and scoring, everyone got scholarships except for me. So I was perplexed, and I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder, and I said, well, if people don't think I can play at the Division I level, I'm going to walk on and prove them wrong. And I thought I would walk on and prove them wrong right away, and what hit me was a heavy dose of reality of what walk-ons truly go through, how they're treated, how the coaches have a mindset on walk-ons who just assume that they're guys with big heart but short on talent. And I had to overcome that mountain of adversity in addition to the NCAA rules that you were just referring to, right, that truly segregate players, walk-ons from scholarship players. So I wanted to write a book that was educational for high school students today, and I wanted to expose those ridiculous NCAA rules that need to be overturned. I wanted to showcase the walk-ons who are, despite that adversity, overcoming the odds and playing on Saturday in front of 90,000 people, earning scholarships, or even perhaps going on and getting tryouts or making it in the NFL. So that was really the spirit of the book.
You know what? The book just got me fired up the more I read about it. Tell everybody, Tim, about the situation once school starts. Now, when you guys go and you show up in August for, you know, August training, you know, before the season starts, you're allowed to, everybody eats together. Then all of a sudden, when school is in session, some stupid NCAA rule says that you guys can't eat with the team. Tell everybody about this.
Well, this is my biggest pet peeve and the most ridiculous rule in the NCAA rule book. And every single coach that I interviewed for this book, from Lou Holtz to Tom Osborne to Terry Donahue to Pete Carroll, the list goes on and on and on. Every single coach said that this rule absolutely, positively is the worst rule that needs to be overturned. That is the training table rule. Training table is the food that is supplied to the participants of athletes who are in the different programs at the Division I level, and they get to eat a very nutritious meal after practice during their season. Right. So in the case of football, which happens in the fall, we go out there and we're practicing in the month of August, And then when school starts in September, suddenly this NCAA rule says, oh, that's an extra perk. You can no longer eat with your teammates. Meanwhile, everybody who's associated with the team gets to eat at training table for free. The players, the coach, the scholarship players, the coaches, the trainers, the managers, the student managers, the student trainers, they don't get paid, but as a thank you for helping out the team and running around the field, you know, putting bags out and running, helping the coaches run drills, those guys all get that, you know, hey, thank you, you're not getting paid, but thank you, you get to eat at training table for free. So everybody who's in the team photo gets to eat at training table, except for the guys who are walk-ons, who strap on the pads and go out there and get bloody Monday through Friday, going against the likes of Junior Seau. So I took great offense to that, that I had to, you know, I got to eat with my comrades, my teammates, for a month.
Right.
And then when September started, I'm sitting in training table, and one of the coaches had to kick me out.
Right.
And it was the most dehumanizing, humiliating experience I had up to that point.
Well, you know, you're not the only person that hates the NCAA. Let me just tell you something. I mean, I can't. Just the year I went through trying to get my son an extra year at Division II to play, out of 5 years, he was eligible 2 years. And he was never once a scholarship player. Now, what was interesting about the book was just how you took it upon yourself as a challenge. And obviously you have some God-given talent. And you know, you weren't a great player in high school because you didn't have talent. You had the talent, but it sounds like you had a lot more heart than anybody else. Are you from San Diego area, or are you from L.A., the L.A. area?
The Los Angeles area.
That's right. Okay.
Valley.
Okay. Now Junior Seau wasn't he from somewhere between L.A. and San Diego?
Correct. Oceanside.
That's just right. That's where his restaurant was, right?
San Diego.
Isn't that where
That's
his
correct.
Restaurant was? Yeah, Bruce Bochy and I played Little League Baseball together. So I used to always go, when I'd go see Boch in Poway, we would go to Oceanside, and Junior would, like, just take care of us. And I'll tell you what a great guy he was, and how sad it was, you know, what happened to him with the suicide, and he probably did have some issues with brain injury and everything else. And I'm just glad to hear that you're doing fine, because you're the same age, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I forget where I put my keys like every 5 minutes, but I can still remember stuff I did in Little League. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Tim Lavin, who's written a phenomenal book called Walk On You. And if you haven't gotten this book, if you've got kids that play any sport, you need to buy this book. You can go to walkonyou.com, correct, Tim? And order
That's
a big.
Correct.
Tim was nice enough to send me a book, and I'm going to order some books because you know what I'm going to do with them? I'm going to give them away to the kids I've coached in the past 10, 15 years, and just let them read it as a Christmas present. Because number one, it's easy reading. It's great reading. It's not 350, 400 pages. It's about 200 pages or so, but it's a great book, and there's no dead time in your book. None. Every page is like something new, something new, something new. Now, let me ask you a question, because the people are going to want to know this. I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask like I don't know. Did you actually earn a scholarship at Southern Cal by being a walk-on, being on the scout team, hitting and getting in fights with Junior every day? Did it actually end up paying off for you?
Yes. I ultimately ended up playing on Saturdays. I ultimately got a scholarship, but I went to hell and back to get it. So it was one hell of a journey. Ended up starting on all the special teams and ended up receiving a half scholarship for my third year. And when they saw that I was still relentless and still playing on special teams, it moved up from seventh or eighth string fullback and being on scout team to second team fullback. And then alternating with the first team fullback my fourth year, they finally relented and I got my scholarship.
Hey,
scholarship.
Now, let me ask you a question, Tim. And if you don't mind, will you hold so we can talk a little bit more after the break? We're going to have like a little a couple of minute break. Let me just ask you a quick question and think about this for our return, okay? What I want to know from you, for the most part, is would you recommend that these kids all go there? And if they do, when do they know if they're going to make it or don't? We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, News Talk 1230 with Tim Lavin.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm on the phone with Tim Lavin, the author of Walk On You, one of the most dynamic, fun, great, feel-good books that I've read in a long time. I read a lot, but I love to read books that teach you something. Now, Tim, I'm going to guess, because I'm remembering from about a week or so ago when I was reading your book, you're like 6 foot, about 200 pounds, right? I think we're about the same size.
Right now or back then?
Back then.
Yeah, I was, in my heyday, I was probably 220 to 225, at just a tad under 6'1".
And you were probably a monster in the weight room, because you were probably doing squats just trying to burn your legs up. You were probably doing a lot of back and shoulder and chest work. You probably did twice as much lifting as you should have, didn't you?
Correct.
I know, Tim, I know you. You don't understand. I know you. When I wrestled, it was so long ago, we weren't even allowed to lift weights because it tightened us up too much. What we did were thousands of push-ups, sit-ups, leg lifts, pull-ups, climbed ropes, beat up each other for 2 hours at a time pretty much. You know, I wrestled on a Division I team that was ranked in the top 10 2 years I was in college. But I went to college to play baseball. And I got to tell you, baseball is one of the few sports, Tim, because it's totally different than football. In football, there are skills. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it's great if you got good hands. It's great if you got a good arm. You know, it's great if you're fast. But in baseball, if you can't hit a curveball, you're not going to make any team if you're a position player, if you can't hit off speed. And if you can't catch, and if you can't run, or if you can't pitch, you're not there. But they miss a lot of colleges miss a lot of good baseball players. And a lot of these kids are 16, 17, their senior years in high school like I was, and they haven't even completely grown yet. When you got to Southern Cal, how old were you, 18?
I was 18 years old, and I was a tad under 6'1", at about 185, 190.
When's your birthday? What month?
January.
So you turned 19 January. So you're like an average age kid for college. Nowadays, a lot of these kids, they start way back, and their parents start making them not sit out a year, but they start them in school late if they're even thinking about it. Because you know how it is today. These kids are hitting way too. And we've talked about this briefly. I personally think the helmets are going to come off one day. I just do. I think that the NFL, at every level of football, you can still wear some form of padding and cleats, but with a basically not even a leather helmet, something that would protect your head a little bit, but you're going to have to use your arms and your shoulders to tackle people. And I think that if they ever get to that point, it's not going to matter, because I think people would still go watch football games. If I go watch the Washington Redskins play the New York Giants and I can see their faces, it's not good. I'll probably like it more. Do you know what I mean? Because it'll be like their guys getting up, getting together in a pig picking and playing a football game against those guys. And we can actually see the guys. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you're going to injure your head. You know, the helmets aren't going to keep you from injuring your head. Correct?
That's a discussion that's hours long.
No, then we won't talk about it. But you see what I'm saying? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Personally, for me, I'd rather wear a helmet that we have today than a leather helmet or no helmet. I've seen those rugby guys with their ears ripped off. I don't want that.
I've seen guys with masks and helmets on, that have their ears ripped off.
You know, it's interesting, you know, talking about head and helmets and head injuries, and I have a chapter in my book after I talk about my junior sale experience. I do talk about head injuries and concussions and what's going on in the world today, and how that incorporates into Walk On You is you have everything that we're hearing about concussions today, the lawsuits, the settlements and everything. Everything seems to revolve around the NFL. In the last 2 years, we've had 6 or 7 guys commit suicide who were NFL players. And everyone's like, oh my God, you know, the helmets and, you know, the concussions and NFL. You know what? That is all true, but people forget that concussions happen at a higher rate in college,
right,
and at even a higher rate with walk-ons. Why? Because typically walk-ons are your tackling dummies, your blocking bags. And these guys, yeah, you know, even in just regular drills, they pick up the walk-on and slam their head into the turf and get back in line and do it again.
Right.
And the trainers aren't necessarily running over there, shining a flashlight in my eye, saying, "Is your head okay?" I can't tell you how many concussions or partial or full concussions I had because I was a walk-on determined to play on Saturday. And if I went off to the sideline saying, "Oh, I'm a little woozy," I wouldn't be back out there, and I would never get that opportunity. So I had to suck it up and prove that I could take it to make it.
Yeah.
And that's what walk-ons have to go through. And it's this whole concussion thing is extremely important, but I want coaches to understand you don't need to slam a kid's head into the turf over and over and over again to practice fumble drills or what have you, just to prove a point, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, you're a good coach. Do what you can, but let's not slam the walk-on's head in the ground.
Well, you know what? They're getting more and more away from even at the college level now. Like, I can remember when Pat Dye was at East Carolina, they put on the pads every day except maybe Friday afternoon. The starters right. would wear shorts and helmets and shoulder pads. But they hit Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday like they had never hit before. And you know what? That works for a while. But there's a really good article. If I put it on my Facebook page, brucehallsports.com. I put it on my Facebook page today that I read an article about how the NFL season at this point, a lot of the younger players are really starting to wear down because in college, you know, they play 11, 12 games, but they're spread out from, you know, the end of August till January. And in the NFL, I mean, they're playing, except for the bye week, they're playing every week and they're, you know, they're doing all of that stuff and it's tough. I'm on the phone right now with Tim Lavin, author of Walk On You. You can go to walkonyou.com, order the book. Please do. It's a great book. Tim, when you were at Southern Cal, who was the head coach or did you have more than one while you were there?
No, I just had one. It was Larry Smith.
I remember. He was a running back, wasn't he? I think he was a running back from Southern Cal or somewhere. He wasn't.
No. He's from the Midwest.
Is he?
I think he played. I think he played tight end when he was in college.
Yeah, he's not the same Larry Smith
I'm
thinking about.
Then.
It was now. Now, yeah. How did you like Coach Smith? Was he? Did you? In your on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give him?
Well,
make it a little higher because he might be listening. You know.
Unfortunately, Coach Smith passed away in 2008, and I have all the respect in the world. No worries. You know, but as a walk-on, you know, walk-ons typically, you know, fall in this category, this coaching mindset. I call it the walk-on syndrome.
Right.
And the coaches typically have a, you know, typical mindset of where walk-ons belong, which is typically at the bottom of the depth chart and only on the field Monday through Friday, and they're not necessarily fired up, you know, engaged with you on Saturday, nor do they think you're good enough to play on Saturday. So the relentless times that I got into fights with Junior Seau and won the battle, I would be looking to my coaches for approval and to move up that depth chart. And it was so frustrating, and absolutely I had a chip on my shoulder. I think every walk-on has a chip on their shoulder because it's in their DNA to prove people wrong who say no or you can't to them. So I had to fight over and over and over again. So, you know, at times it was very frustrating, and I was upset. And there were other times where I just unleashed on people in practice and had an incredible day. And I remember specifically one time where I got into like three or four fights on the same play against our defense, who was ranked number one or two in the country.
Right.
And Coach Smith pointed at me and he goes, "Lavin, get down there to the other end." And for the day, I got promoted to go play with our first and second team offense, which is what I felt I should have been anyway.
Right.
So there were times where I was very excited and I felt that I was proving myself. And then, of course, there were other times where I was frustrated and saying, "Hey, this moniker of walk-on, this W-U on
right.
my chest, or W-O on my chest is, you know, not a scarlet letter." I mean, you know, there's this perception that walk-ons are all rudy. you know, guys with big hearts. And
sure.
You know what? Not every walk-on's 5'8", 165 pounds. Some guys can actually play. Give those guys a shot.
Hey, real quick, I got Tim Lavin on the phone right now. Wrote Walk On You, great book, walkonyou.com. Order the book. Tim, you played 1 year without a scholarship, but then was it the second year that you thought you had a full scholarship and they gave you a half scholarship? And tell everybody how that was. What was that like?
Yeah, after my first year and a half at the school, I had, and literally our defense was ranked one or two in the country in defense, and I was on scout team going against the best players in the country. And not only was I holding my own, but I was doing quite well and was wondering when I was going to move up the depth chart. And when it wasn't happening, I got pretty frustrated, and I did go up to Coach Smith, and I said, Coach, I don't know what your plans are for me for the next 4 years, but I am not a scout team lifer. I will not be on scout team for 4 or 5 years preparing your guys. I can play at this level, and I deserve a scholarship, and I deserve to play on Saturday. And don't ask me where I got the courage to say that at 19, because it still floors me that I said that to him at the time. But I did plan on transferring. And he said, no, go through spring ball, and if you earn your scholarship, if you prove yourself in spring ball, I will put you on full scholarship. And I spoke to him 3 or 4 times over the next several months and during spring ball. And
making sure it was still a deal, right?
Making sure it was still a deal. Right. I went up in his office. We shook hands on it. I didn't think I needed to get anything in writing because, again, I was 19.
Yeah.
But, you know, he shook my hand and he said, you know, it's all or nothing. I don't believe in partials. It's all or nothing. And I said, fantastic. And I went out and had an incredible spring ball. I think I went from 5th or 6th string fullback to number 2. And I was just lighting it up. And my teammates, my nickname was Mad Dog, and my teammates were barking at me and yelling my name and calling me Mad Dog and barking like
right.
a dog in the locker room. And I knew that I had earned the respect of the coaches and my fellow teammates. And Coach Smith shook my hands after our last game and said, congratulations, Tim. I'm putting you on full scholarship. Well, I went home, you know, walking on air.
Sure.
I worked out all summer. And then just before the season started, or just before we were supposed to report to camp, I got a letter in the mail saying, congratulations, you, because of your efforts, you've been put on half scholarship. So that absolutely threw me for a loop. And I called the coach, and he said that there were, you know, some situations out of his control that contributed to me only getting a half scholarship. So that was a pretty frustrating time for me. And at that point, I was like, wow, you know, that's tough.
Tim, I hate to go. We're gonna have to say goodbye. But this is Tim Lavin, wrote a book called Walk On You. You can go to walkonyou.com. It's a phenomenal book, and I highly recommend it for kids that are in high school to buy it, because there's a lot of kids like Tim, actually probably not even nearly as good as Tim, that deserve a chance to walk on. They need to know what they're up against. Tim, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bruce. I enjoyed it. Thank you so
hey,
much.
Hey, I'm going to be in touch, too. I need to order some books for Christmas. All right, buddy?
Outstanding. Hey, you can get them at walkonyou.com.
Thank you very much. For the first
time, bye-bye.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Can we let him off the hook? Now, that was a good interview. I like talking to guys. Let me tell you something. That is a good book, because you can read the book in a couple of days if you sit down for 4 or 5 hours. And when I read, I read. I don't like to read 10 pages and put the book down. I like to read. I just read a book about Benghazi. For those of you that don't know, just, you know, go to the bookstore, you'll find it. You know, it's somewhere in the middle. It's not like the people that want everybody to go to prison or, you know, get lynched for not helping, you know, the soldiers, the State Department employees and the guys that were at Benghazi. But I read that book in like 2 or 3 days. It was a good book. But the guy's name was... Tim Lavin, pronounces it the same way that the old basketball coach from UCLA does, but they're not related. I checked a long time ago. We've talked a couple of times. Great guy. Walk On You, and you can go to walkonyou.com. It's a great book to buy your kid if he's like a high school football player. If he reads that book, he'll be ready. He'll be ready for summer camp.
I love books written by sports figures because there's not a lot of big words.
Well, not
you don't
only
need a dictionary to read.
No, and believe me, he's a very intelligent guy and could have written probably 850,000 pager. But my point is that you know you want a book. The best books are the books you can read and you can get through. And I'll be honest with you, I'm 60 years old in a couple of weeks, and I like bigger print anyway.
I prefer pictures.
Matt, you're going to hate to hear this, but my Bible is like almost as big as I am, so I can read it. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're having fun today. I'm going to go to NFL.com. So if everybody'd like to, go to NFL.com. I'm just kidding. Don't go there. I'm going to tell you where to go, though. What did I do with my glasses? I hate it when I lose my glasses. By the way, Don Geronimo's back on a...
I haven't heard it yet.
You haven't heard Geronimo? He's on from 7 to 10 on 106.7. I never plug other stations. But it's in
it's
D.C. It's a D.C. station.
That's why I got here. So it's a love-hate relationship with him, actually.
You know what he needs? He needs somebody like me to tutor him in sports. I mean, he's a fun guy to listen to. I'm going to say, Las Vegas, if you go to scoresandodds.com, scoresandodds.com, you'll be looking at the same stuff I'm looking at right now. And we're going to start with the first game on there because, I hate it when those guys hit each other. Hey, by the way, we're supposed to get a call from my boy.
I'm waiting.
Well, I don't see him. He better call me. The Atlanta Falcons, who, for the most part, their season and their team is basically in big trouble. Not in as big a trouble as the New York Giants, but they're headed that direction. The Falcons, you know, they bring back Tony Gonzalez. Out of retirement, the guy was perfectly happy. He's probably got $50 to $100 million in the bank. Didn't really need to come back and play another year of the NFL ball. Came back because he wanted to be part of the Atlanta Falcon drive for the Super Bowl. You can forget that. They're not going to make the playoffs this year. They play the Carolina Panthers. Now, the Panthers were at 7 this morning. It's up to 7.5. Everybody's hammering Carolina. Atlanta is at Carolina. Carolina has a much better defense than Atlanta. And really, their offense, they're going to be able to run the football, and they're going to be able to pass the football. I like Carolina winning this game and covering. I've actually got them for 4 stars today. I like them a lot. Carolina, from a standpoint of injuries, is pretty much injury-free. Atlanta, just the opposite. Everybody's been hurt for the Falcons. Julio Jones is out basically for the year. Roddy White is questionable. They thought he was going to get to play. He worked out Friday, and he didn't. You know, it was funny. They showed a picture of him. It was from his waist down. So for all we know, it wasn't even Roddy White on the field. I mean, you know, the NFL teams get real secretive. Like, it's a big secret if somebody isn't going to play. And I understand how that works. But you know what? If you prepare yourself for a game, you're ready for anybody. Take Carolina with Bruce Hall Sports minus the points for 4 stars. Next game, Matthew. The Minnesota Vikings at the Dallas Cowboys. They're opening up. It's 65 degrees in Dallas. They're going to open the roof today. They're not going to close it. Which is going to, you know, there'll be a few breezes in there. The Cowboys are much better than Minnesota. If Minnesota, everybody's been talking about with the trade deadline and really nothing happening. Why are they going to keep Adrian Peterson? Well, you're going to keep him because he's the best running back in the league.
That's all you got, man.
You got to build around something, correct, Matt? I mean, you don't want to not have the best running back in the league when you start your draft next year. And the way that Minnesota is playing, they're going to get some good early round draft choices.
That's what they're playing for.
Well, what they could have done, I guess, with Peterson is they could have gotten maybe 2 ones and a 2 or something. And that would have, but then they would be in rebuilding. They would, Ziggy Wilf, I swear to God, that's his name, Wilf, like Wolf only with an I, is a banker that's evidently gotten in a lot of trouble, or he had a big judgment against him for like $1 billion almost, or like $700 million. I mean, and he's gonna have to pay it, and he let the league know early this year, That's not going to affect the Minnesota Vikings. Let me tell you something. Somebody takes $700 out of my bank account, it's going to affect Bruce Hall. I'm going to tell you. And so he's lying to begin with. He got this medal, Matt, for lying. So I don't like Ziggy Wilf anyway. I really don't like the Metrodome. It's a piece of crap place. I'm so glad they built a baseball stadium in Minnesota, even though there's usually 3 feet of snow on it that they have to take off in April.
Well, Minnesota's biggest problem is they need a quarterback, and you're not going to get
squareheads. That's their biggest problem.
I'm not racist. Even if they have two picks in the draft next year, they're not going to get that number one guy that they want. So why trade off Adrian Peterson?
Well, exactly.
You're going to get a second tier quarterback anyway.
They think Josh Freeman is the guy. Josh Freeman is completed 46% of his passes. He's horrible. I mean, they put him in 2 weeks ago, and it was the worst game anybody has ever had on Monday Night Football passing the ball. He reminded me of Joe Capp when he was having a bad day in Minnesota, when he was 5 for 25, but he ran for 80 yards in the snow. Take Dallas. This is an easy one for me. It's a lot of points. You know, Dallas is actually down. Oh, I can't believe this. Everybody's hammering Minnesota. And you know what they say about the public? They're usually wrong. So I like Dallas.
Nobody gives any respect to Dallas this year. I guess because they're in the worst league.
Well, they're in the worst division. They are in the NFC least. They're in the worst division. It's actually not the worst division win and loss wise. The South division of the AFC is actually almost exactly the same. I don't even want to tell you why they're actually worse, but they're either seventh or eighth division wise. Take the Cowboys. Listen, Tony Romo is going to have a field day against these guys. Plus, all the talk with Dez Bryant and Jason Witt and all the guys in Dallas, they have so many weapons. They're at home. I don't think they've lost at home this year. I think they've won every game. They haven't. They lost to Denver 51-48 at home. But I got to tell you, that was one hell of a game. And if they score 48 points today, all we need is a field goal for Minnesota to hit the over. I've got the over in this game for 4 stars, and I have Dallas for 5 stars. I love that game. Matthew? This is probably the best game. You know, we had Clark Judge on earlier today, NFL Insider, phenomenal guy, and he loves this game as being the game that he wants to watch today. It's the New Orleans Saints, Rob Ryan, the fatter twin now, against Rex Ryan, New York Jets head coach, the skinnier, foot fetish kind of cool dude.
He will never get over that.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. You suck on girls' feet. You need to hear about it. And there's nothing wrong with it.
He'll be in the Hall of Fame. That'll be on his plaque.
My toes are so ugly, they won't even let me in somewhere to clean them.
You'll have to take your shoes off to go into his
statue. I should just cut my toes off, somebody said a long time ago. But the thing of it is that the Saints right now look like a Super Bowl team. Rob Ryan, no, they do. Right. Rob Ryan, well, they're 7-1, goofball. I mean, they're pretty damn good. I mean, the New Orleans Saints right now in the NFC, it's either them or Seattle probably, or San Francisco. One of those three teams will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. It's not going to be anybody in the East.
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to either be Seattle, San Francisco, or New Orleans. No, you know, Carolina is hanging in there. Now, let me just tell you this. If Carolina can keep everybody healthy on the defensive side of the ball, they're getting back the second running back, their number two running back today, who's been out. I mean, they paid their two top running backs last year an incredible amount of money for like 4 years. And now they're both back. Cam looks like he's ready. They play better at home. The Carolina, let me tell you something about people that live in Charlotte. They like winners. They wear Carolina blue down there, even though they live a good 100 miles from Chapel Hill. Okay? But they like this Carolina Panther team. They like Cam Newton, too, because he's fun to watch when he's playing well. He's just hard to listen to when he's crying. I have a hard time when 23, 24, 25-year-old men cry. I mean, it's just you guys hate me. But anyway, he's not doing that right now.
Brand.
Hey, you know what I like in this game? You're going to laugh. Don't laugh. 46 points. Now, everybody historically loves the Saints in the over. People. Rex Ryan, defensive guy. Rob Ryan, D defensive guy. Game, defensive game. Take the under. I don't take a lot of unders. I'm taking under 46.5 points for 4 stars.
That seems like it's small.
I am not taking the game because the Jets are getting 5.5. And honestly, like Clark said, the Saints are a much better football team right now. Let's go to the next game. God, I love Sunday. Tennessee at St. Louis. The Rams. Jeez, boy, that game.
Shouldn't that be a Thursday? Can they move that to a Thursday night game?
Can't they move that to a Wednesday night game so nobody has to watch it? Actually, the Titans are not playing badly. I want to say they're 4-4. The Rams, I think, are 3-5. Neither team is going anywhere this year. However, Jake Locker's back.
All right.
Do you have Jake?
I took him. Peyton Manning's on his bye.
Let me tell you what Matt did. He signed him this week on his fantasy team. Hey, I'm going to be pulling. I was pulling for you this past week, except for guess who Matt's playing this week?
I wonder.
Mr. Hall. He's playing me.
I'm just saying that.
And I got
I'm taking a strategic loss.
I've already got 3 guys that played this week. I had the running back. The running back for the Miami Dolphins ended up rushing for over 100 yards. Miller. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. And I ended up, and I had somebody else. I can't remember who it was. I had a receiver. I know who it is. It's the Ram receiver, the white kid that's always covered. What's his name?
I don't know.
Hartline. Hartline caught all of his passes in the fourth quarter. I got lucky. I think I have 28.1 points from 3 guys right now. But the Tennessee-St. Louis game, I can honestly tell you right now, the only thing I'm playing here, -40.5, is I'm playing a moderate play. And I like this play because I don't see any offense here. And St. Louis, by the way, this past week, their defense looked really good. Jeff Fisher is a defensive guy. They're going to get better even though they haven't looked good this week. Take the under 40.5 points for 3 stars in this game.
It's 30 seconds.
I don't have – okay. I thought you were giving me the okay.
Okay, baby.
Okay.
You're okay to go. I agree with you.
Now, by the way, Sam Bradford's out for the season. That doesn't help the Rams. A lot of people are taking – Tennessee, they're a road favorite. Let me tell you, the wise guys don't like road favorites. They like home favorites. They like road underdogs. And I'm telling you, that's the way to do it. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. NH Bowl. BOWL.com. NH Bowl. BOWL.com. N is in Nancy. H is in hammered. B is in boy. O is in O. W is in what?
The gears
L is in love.
Here. The gears
dot com.
Are turned into, to remember
com.
How to spell.
National Handicappers Bowl. I compete. Last week I went 4-5-0 in totals. I had my name all over the NH Bowl. I went 2-2. Actually sent it in. I'm ridiculous. I went to like resent. You know how like you're supposed to answer certain emails? The way I, you know, let them know what I want. So I have to give them my name, my password. Because God knows we wouldn't want somebody that's not Bruce Hall picking anything. And like somebody else would be sending them an email like in competition with me to try to screw me. What they would do is probably give me a bunch of winners instead of losers. But I went 2-2, but I was up like...
Give me Cleveland for the Super Bowl.
I was up like 300 points on the plays because my winners were like 5 stars. My losers were 3-4. But then I went like 5-0 in total. So I had a great week last week, and I'm going to have a great week this week. And I'm giving you all of those games right now. So listen, if you play NFL football, I don't care if it's an office pool, fantasy football. And look, by the way, 240-317-7294. You know what? I was doing fantasy football with the guys on NFL Network earlier this week. I just turned, you know, because I watch it all day long, yeah. and I'm watching it, and I'm like part of the panel, and my wife's going, "Why don't you have your own daggone show? You've answered every question before they even get around to answering it, and they always agree with you." I went, "No, I don't think so. It's NFL Network. They're not going to pay me enough." You know what kills me?
You do realize that's a radio show every week, right?
Yeah, but LeVar Arrington is on NFL Network.
Really?
What in the hell are they thinking? I love LeVar. And you know what? I'm going to give LeVar that. No, listen. Right. I'm going to give LeVar this. He's not bad on NFL Network.
He's a good personality.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, but what? What?
Yeah.
You know, what is he? What are they doing? I mean, put me on. I look really good in a suit, too. I don't look as good as LeVar. He's a big, bad dude, man. I like LeVar, and I wish LeVar great things, but I think that worked out real well for 106.7 because he's not with Dukes that much anymore. And you know who's on with Dukes now? Bill Rowland. Bill Rowland's good. Hey, listen, Billy, if you're out there and you're listening to me, which you're not, because if you're hearing me on the air, you got to be in Connecticut, New Jersey, or New York. But here's the deal.
Or BruceAllSports.com.
Or BruceAllSports.com. You can hear me on BruceAllSports.com, and you can hear me on BruceAllSports.com. On iHeartRadio, I think you can hear me on iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. You can hear me on...
Search for WFAS.
That's right. You can go to WFAS. I almost said WFAN. That would have sucked. and by the way, I hear our ratings aren't that much lower than WFAN's. But then how come people aren't calling in? Look, if you have a question about your fantasy team, you better call me now, and I will tell you exactly what you need to do. 240-317-7294. Matthew asks me in between. No, he doesn't. He doesn't care. Matt and I both had computers pick our teams, but we have arranged our teams to be pretty competitive this year. Matt is learning.
I don't care who picks my team at first. I'm glad I got Peyton and Wes Welker. But
that didn't hurt you at all.
Fantasy football is not about the team you start off with. It's about the team that you end with.
Hey, real quick, before we talk about the next game, I'd like everybody to say a prayer if you do those things. Matt, obviously, you're not praying. But I would like everybody out there to say a prayer for John Fox. John Fox has exactly the same problem that Bruce Hall does. We both have abnormally shaped and leaky aortic valves in our heart. And, you know, the early reports said that they thought he had a heart attack. It was his heart, but it was his aortic valve. And when you start passing out and feeling super faint more than once every month or so, it's time to go and have them listen to your heart. And if the velocity of the blood going through your aortic valve is extremely high, it means not enough's getting through at the right time. And you need to go have heart valve replacement surgery. What they do is they cut you open right down the middle, pry your ribs apart.
Crack you like a walnut.
They pull your heart out and keep it like off to the side and keep it beating. Hopefully. Actually, I think they stop it is what they do. And they put you on a machine that basically pumps blood through your body while they operate on your heart. And they take sometimes a half hour, 2 hours, 3 hours to replace your heart valve with either a mechanical one that's made out of some type of metal. And if they do it with a metal valve, you have to take blood thinners like the rest of your life. Or they put a pig valve in there. And evidently a human valve and a pig valve are almost identical. And if I was Muslim, I don't think I could even do it because I can't imagine a Muslim would want a pig valve because I don't think they're allowed to do that. And I'm just saying that because it's probably true.
Well, or Jewish.
Yeah, or Jewish. That's right, or Jewish. But anyway, but those last supposedly like 15 or 20 years. And so I'll be 60 in a couple of weeks. And I'm guessing that in the next 5 to 10 years, my doctor's already said this, I'm going to have aortic valve replacement too. And John Fox is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I think he might have even said 6 to 8 weeks. And what happens is, you're in the hospital for a week. They get you up on your feet. You're walking around. But say a prayer for John Fox. He's a great guy. He's from Virginia Beach. My son's girlfriend's father grew up right down the street from him. So, you know.
So it's like your best friend.
Yeah, Mr. Schoonover. If you don't mind me saying your name, Mr. Schoonover. He's a big dude. I don't want to make him mad. I'm older than him, though, so I'm pulling age on him.
It's 6 degrees of John Fox, right?
Let me tell you, John Fox was a hell of a football player. He was an assistant coach for Bill Parcells in New York. You know, he got a head job in Carolina, and he ended up going to a Super Bowl, and if they hadn't scored so fast, and if their kicker hadn't kicked off and he kicked it out of bounds, they probably would have won the Super Bowl, which would have really been weird because that means that New England, one of the years they cheated, would not have won the Super Bowl on Bruce Hall. Let's go over the next one. Kansas City Chiefs, Buffalo Bills. Until I found out the worst quarterback Buffalo owns on their team was starting this game, I was all over Buffalo. This was a game I could see Kansas City losing. They don't have a big offense.
They're due for a loss.
Look,
I thought it was last week.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen this week. It's not going to happen this week.
Yeah.
They started at 2.5-point favorites, and it went to 3, 4, 5. Now it's at 5. Leave it alone.
Plus, Bills are running back by committee.
Yeah.
A lot of dings and
they do have a good defensive line. They're actually playing very well. But let me tell you, Kansas City, it doesn't matter where they play. Their defense comes to play. I'm passing on the game. I'm not even taking the under here, even though it would be a good play. The under's 40.5. I'm leaving it alone. Next game, Matt. This is a game I'm going to, peoples. San Diego at Washington. I'll be there in about an hour and a half. San Diego is better than everybody thinks they are. Everybody, you know, people don't think San Diego's got a very good team. They got a new head coach. He's doing some wonderful things out there. He brought in some guys that are fresh. They know what they're doing. Their defense is good enough. There's two plays here. And by the way, the play is the direction that it needs to be.
I'm just gonna early. A wild guess and say one of them's the over.
Oh, it's the over. It's the over for sure. It's 49.5.
Anytime you have the Redskins, defense, take the over.
I had a long debate with John Keim, who's a great writer and a super guy, who's with the Washington Redskins. He's a beat writer for the Redskins for ESPN. I hope I got that right. I hope he's with ESPN. Those people don't like you saying that you're with them if you're not. But he is with ESPN. And John and I were talking about D'Angelo Hall. And I'm not a D'Angelo Hall fan for a couple of reasons. Number one, I remember every play he's ever made that sucked. John, but he's getting ready that if he returns, are you ready for this? If he returns a fumble or a interception for a touchdown today, he will be the number one guy in the history of the NFL in returns for touchdowns.
That's because he always jumps for the ball and lets the receiver
behind him. Well,
that's
because he can't cover anybody. The problem with him is D'Angelo Hall probably runs a 4.7 40.
It'd be good if
ran a 4.7 40, and I didn't play college football.
It would be great if he had safeties behind him that could tackle.
Well, he doesn't have any safeties. Well, or without getting a concussion. Their best tackler is out with a concussion. Now, he might play today, but it doesn't matter. Take the over for 5. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars. Take the over and take the San Diego Chargers for a moderate 3-star play pick. It's a pick game. San Diego wins this game. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We love the NAR. I'm Bruce Hall for Matt Lynch. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. San Diego at Washington. We just finished up with that. Take the over for 5 stars. It's 49.5. I think the winner of this game scores 34. And I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be like 34-30, you know, 31-28. The wind is, it's a little windy. It's 11 to 16 miles an hour. It's in the 50s. Kickoff time, it's going to be 53 degrees. I'm sitting on the sunny side. I'll be in a club level, section 319. And the sun will be in my face. So I'm going to have to put a little sunscreen on, but I'll be warm, Matthew. I hate being cold.
So it's a 1 o'clock game. So
it is a 1 o'clock game. So it'll be dark by 5.
As long as it's not the 4 o'clock game where someone can come and find you. What did you tell me about that at those early games?
Did I say 319? I meant 219. I'm being 219. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're on News Talk 1230 WFAS. I want to just say hi to Marty Sheehan. It's Sheehan, really. You don't pronounce a guy's name Sheehan. I used to know a guy named Stanley Sheehan. We called him that, but his father always called himself Mr. Sheehan. Bruce, you can call me Mr. Sheehan. Stanley was one of the best bass players and lead guitarists I ever knew. Went to California with Mike Jones, and I tell you, just played music forever, and I think he's back in D.C. playing music. But anyway, Philadelphia Eagles, next game, man. Philadelphia Eagles. Oh, God, they suck. And the Oakland Raiders, who I am so happy for. And the reason I am is Reggie McKenzie's their GM, and he is the identical twin to Raleigh McKenzie. And by the way, when they're together, you can't tell them apart unless you know them. Reggie's probably 10, 20 pounds lighter than Raleigh. Raleigh is a big-time scout northeast area for the Oakland Raiders now. But I'll tell you what, how good is that quarterback? He played 1 year of college ball, and now he's dominating. First play of the game this past week, he runs 95 yards for a touchdown. So, you know, that's not bad if he's your fantasy starter. Mike Vick's out. Foles is starting. He's coming back from a concussion. Believe me, if he just falls on his head, he's got another concussion. They're going to bring Barkley in. He sucks. Here's what's going to happen. Oakland's going to win this game 34-10. I don't see Oakland even looking back. I see him scoring the first 21 points of the game. And I see the Raiders drawing even. They're going to end up at 500. They're 3-4 right now. I see them being 4-4. Take Oakland minus the 1 point. I swear to God, they're favored by – that can't be right. That is right. They're favored by 1 point right now over the Eagles. Matt, that's like Christmas and I'm Santa Claus.
What?
I swear to God, that's what it's going to.
I believe you, but why do people still think that Philadelphia is any good?
You know why? Because of LeSean McCoy. That's right. And because they just can't believe Oakland has gotten that much better, and they have. Their defense is much better than Philadelphia's. I mean, if you lined the Philly defense up against the Oakland defense and just told them to fight without any padding on, the fight would be over in like 30 seconds. Oakland would win. They're that much better on defense.
I think we just found our new tiebreaker for
oh,
for
yeah,
the
absolutely. Well, we wouldn't even have to play anything. Let's go to the next game. But take the Raiders for 4 stars. That's a strong play, 4 yeah. stars. Tampa Bay. Oh, God. Shiano! Greg Shiano! Now, you know, I feel sorry for this guy. No, I don't. You know, I probably know some coaches that are better coaches than he's got assembled there. And I know I'm every bit as good as him. And they're, what are they, 0-8? 0-7, I think. 0-8. They're 0-whatever. It doesn't matter. Oh, yeah. They're O. Henry. They're Halloween candy. They're terrible. You know who they're playing? I like that, though, Matt. That was pretty cool.
Finger slip.
You know what I like? I like Seattle in this game, even though they're
no.
This game has gone from 17 to 14.5. And you know why? Everybody's hammering Tampa Bay. You know why? Seattle looked so bad on TV the other night. Take the Seahawks. You know what the final of this game is going to be? Are you ready? 23-10. Maybe 23-7. Seattle's going, they're at home. They turn the volume up. Those fans go crazy. They have to break the record today because somebody took it back. They lost the record.
To Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City lost it. They get it back this weekend. Take Seattle for 4 stars.
Is that your straight cash? Because that would be mine.
No. My straight cash is Monday night.
Okay.
I'll tell you in a minute. Oh, God, I just gave it away, didn't I? Take Seattle. Look, take
the multiple games on.
Listen, I got two plays here. Seattle for 4 stars, under for 3 stars, under 41.5 because Seattle may not score 10 points, and Seattle's offense looks so, Tampa's defense isn't terrible. Darrell Revis plays on half the field. They're going to have to score on the other half probably. Mm-hmm. Take Seattle minus the points and take the under. Give me the next one, Matt. Loser. Baltimore Ravens are at the Cleveland Browns. How sucky does this game look?
I don't know. Cleveland looked pretty good last week. I mean, they almost took
Well, you know why? Because what did I tell you? Jason Campbell can play, buddy. We saw him in Washington for a long time. And Norv had him the whole time. What they're trying to figure out in Cleveland, besides how much money their owner is going to owe everybody that he ripped off. And I'm only saying that because I'm pretty sure they've paid everybody back, praying they're not going to get a big judgment against. What was the name of that company? They own all the little stop shops all over Tennessee.
I have no idea.
Don't worry about it. Anyway, we're going to have Tony May. You know what? Let's wait. Let's talk about the Baltimore game when Tony calls. What do you say?
That'll work.
Because Tony's going to call in at 11:45. The Mazer Man. The Mazer Man.
Missoula.
Let's go to the next game. Pittsburgh Steelers are at the New England Patriots. You know, Tom Brady's hand still hurts. His wife is still picking out everything he wears. Can everybody, am I the only guy that can tell that a woman is picking out his clothes? There's no way a man would ever pick out the clothes Tom Brady wears. No way. And you know, Giselle probably got him like a $10 million deal with some, you know, men's clothing designer. I guarantee you. Have you seen the stuff he wears? No. He looks like Hugh Hefner when he's getting ready for bed. I mean, he wears, you know how, you
which
know
many
how,
men would love to wear.
Well, I'd like to wear
bed,
some of the ladies that he has.
Seven women.
But let me just say, but you know what I'm talking about, right? He just looks out of sorts. I just like to see Tom Brady every once in a while in a mock turtleneck or a
come
t-shirt.
Come out
in
a wife beater and cut off jeans.
You know what? Come out with a t-shirt and a blue blazer and a pair of jeans. I mean, be a man, Tom. How about it? Having said that, Tom, believe me, you know what I like about Brady? He's being forced to play with a bunch of guys that aren't all that good this year. And guess what they're doing? They're getting better. I'm going to say this about the New England Patriots. As much as I hate, and by the way, read the book. What's it called? Cheatgate?
Spygate, the untold
Spygate,
story.
Spygate, the untold story.
How do I even remember
Cheatgate.
This? I haven't even had
that's because I've said it 100 times. Read the book.
I know that and the phone number now.
Read the book. I'm pretty sure New England isn't cheating anymore in Foxborough, although I find that hard to believe. But New England is doing a good job this year. They're 6-point favorites over the Steelers. A lot of people, you would think that this game would be centered around, you know, the defensive sides of the ball. But, you know, it's about time for Roethlisberger and that offense. Oh, wait a minute. It's Todd Haley. You know what? Todd Haley's going in. I bet you they're not having any meetings inside Foxborough in the locker rooms or the meeting rooms because they're all bugged because Haley knows where all the bugs are. From what I heard, he had a team sweeping the stadium, making sure that there were no bugs everywhere. But
they're just all talking.
Because Haley was involved with that.
They just talk in pig Latin.
Yeah, like that helps. Anyway, this
offensive line. Oh,
hey, you know
please
what?
Stop letting them get to our quarterback.
Would say, hey, Matt, here's what I'd say. I'd say Vegas has a pretty good hold of this. I don't like either side. I don't like Steelers getting 6, and I don't like the Patriots giving 7, even at home. It's going to be a pretty physical ball game defensively. They got a lot of guys hurt New England on the defensive side of the ball. New England also isn't 100%. I mean, Brady's not even 100% with his hand. His hand's still real swollen. Have you seen it? Even though nothing's broken, as soon as he gets that hand hit, it swells up. I mean, what he's got is he's got a really bad bone bruise on his right hand. I'm going to leave this game alone.
How fast before Roethlisberger is just out for the season? Because his offensive line is possibly
they're pretty bad.
Negative worst, like, you know, worse than 38 teams
isn't
in the NFL.
Is DeCastro's out for the season? I'm pretty sure. Let me look.
I'm pretty sure they have like a safety.
You know, I don't even see it. I've got all. You know what I'm going to do? The next segment, I'm going to go over the injury list. Will you remind me to do that? Because that's as much fun as anything I've ever seen. That takes a whole segment just to go over the doubtfuls and the are not playings. Mm-hmm. There are more people this year And if you don't agree with me, please call me and tell me. 240-317-7294, 240-317-7294. Tell me and Matt why I'm crazy. But there are more people injured this year.
That would take way too many calls.
Yeah, we don't have a switchboard like that. But what I'm saying is more people, Matt, this year, doesn't seem like more people are injured and they're out for the season than ever before. I mean, I'm talking about every time somebody goes down, grabs their knee, it's an ACL. Every time somebody grabs their heel, it's an Achilles tendon. It's all 12-month stuff. I mean, most of it. God knows a hamstring injury is at least 4 to 6 weeks. I mean, these guys are – I don't think what they're doing by limiting the amount of pads they put on in practice is helping, is what I'm saying. Because I think what happens is they just forget what it's like to get hit until Sunday. And then, oh, my God, I really got hit. A lot of these big guys are so big on the offensive line now. They're like 350, 360 pounds. When those guys fall on the back of your heels, when they roll up on you, that's some serious poundage rolling up on your heel. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Broken ankle, broken foot, you know, sprained ankles, high ankle sprains, the whole deal. Baltimore's at Cleveland. The only thing I like here a little bit.
I thought we were waiting on this one.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Because of Tony. Patriots-Steelers, I'm going to pass on the game. It's too perfect. It's a good game, but I'm passing on it. Go ahead. This is a good game. Indianapolis Colts.
The only game worth watching this week.
No. We already said that the Jets game is going to be good, too, because it's the Ryan twins.
Okay, but you're talking about... There's talent on the field. This is possibly the only game you want to watch.
No, because Houston's 2-6, aren't they? They're terrible this year. The Houston Texans, Indianapolis Colts lost Reggie Wayne last week. The Indianapolis Colts have an offensive line that's banged up. The Indianapolis Colts have got a couple of guys dinged in their secondary. I'm going to take Houston behind they're getting Arian Foster back. But I'm taking them behind their second-year quarterback, Case Keenum, to beat the Indianapolis Colts and Andrew Luck today. My son, I think. Do you have Andrew Luck today? Is that you?
No.
That's right. You've got the guy you just picked up. You've got like a third-string quarterback.
Yeah,
the Houston Texans have got Case Keenum in his second week of getting all the snaps, and they've got Arian Foster and their backup. Ready to go. I see the Houston Texans winning this ball game and defeating the Indianapolis Colts. Take Houston for 4 stars. Absolutely. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
On Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Now we are Bruce Hall and Roy G. Roy, you made bail. That's great. Roy.
Hey.
You made bail.
I did.
Hey, listen, you called just in time. I can get your picks. You know, this is an NFL show during football season, it seems to be. Missed you, buddy, but I'm looking forward to seeing you when you get back. Hey, how was the wedding? Good?
Yeah, it was great. It was. I'm in Charleston, West Virginia, driving back, actually, now. So driving through all the mountains and hills. It was great. It was a good time.
Were there several women at the wedding that had teeth?
No, it was an all-male wedding.
It was an all-male wedding?
Multiple teeth.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Hey, listen, I'm going to go down. I'm looking at scores and odds right now, but I'm going to give you the up-to-date lines. They're literally changing in front of me. It's pretty wild. It's a wild day because it's not a great day for football, but there's 3 or 4 good games. Atlanta's at Carolina. I love Carolina here. It's gone from 6.5 to 8. I'd take them at 8 anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was leaning towards Atlanta because Robbie White was coming back.
No, he may not play, though. He may not play.
Yeah, now that he's not going to play, now you're back to the Harry Douglases of the world. So I'd have to lean back towards Carolina. But I was starting to lean towards Atlanta for a while when I was hearing Roddy White was back, but now that he's out.
All right, you don't want them. Okay, Minnesota's at Dallas. I'm going to be watching this one because I love Dallas in this game. But you know what? What's really wild is the number has gone from 10.5 to 8.5. Somebody is on Minnesota, and I don't get it. Do you get that? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Adrian Peterson is going to be inside regardless. So that's always a weapon. And I don't know, the Minnesota Vikings, they don't have anything to lose. You know, they got to say something about that. But, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have so many weapons.
Yeah, I know. I love them.
They're a good football team. It pains me to say that.
Are you going to take them? Are you going to take the over? It's 50.5.
There's nothing worse than being a Redskins fan.
I think I do have the over, and I think I have the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, I do. I got the over for 4, and I got the Cowboys for 5. It's my only 5-star play today. The Saints are at the Jets, in my opinion, and in Clark Judge's opinion, this is the best game of the day to watch. I like the under here, and the reason I like the under is normally, Roy, you know, with Drew Brees in the game, you like the over, especially if it's 40-something. But I see this being a really hard-hitting defensive struggle. I think there's going to be some movement between the 20s, but I don't see these guys lighting up the scoreboard, do you?
I love New Orleans here.
Do you really? Well, you take them. You take them. You take them.
Last time I looked, it was a 6.5 point.
It's 5.5 now. It's even better.
All right. So even better for me. I love Drew Brees by a touchdown here. Geno Smith.
Yeah. He's your West Virginia boy. I know.
And he's a West Virginia boy, but you're hedging. That guy is so up and down.
Yep, he is.
You know, he's been up for the last couple of weeks.
But it's but here's the deal. Every other game they've won, and this is the game they're supposed to win. I'm going to pass on the game. It's just too good, but I am taking the under just for a moderate play, 3 stars. You're on the Saints, though, right?
Yes.
All right, you take the Saints. I kind of like them, too. But that's. You know, Clark likes him too. Clark Judge liked him. All right, Tennessee at St. Louis. I don't even want to watch this game.
Yeah, a bad game.
In my opinion, it's going to go under 40.5. That's what I like. I mean, the thing I saw this past week with the Rams, even though Sam Bradford went out, so they're not going to score a lot of points with the other guy in there anyway. Tennessee's got a good defense, and they run the football. I like the under here. It's going to be – I'm hitting unders. I've hit my last 7 totals, Roy. In the National Handicappers Bowl. So I like the under here, and I'm going with it. I just got a gut for that. I don't have a gut for anything else there.
No, I agree. I don't think Tennessee really has much of an offense. Both teams are playing with backup quarterbacks. We saw last week, I guess it was Monday night, St. Louis actually has a defense. They
looked like they were supposed to look, you know, all year, and they really have been struggling, but they did look a lot better. And I'll tell you what, their pass rush, they got some monsters on the pass rush. Let's go to the next game. The next game is Kansas City, Buffalo. Tools, he screwed up the entire day. I was all over Buffalo getting like 2.5 early, and then I saw the line go to 4, then I looked online, Tools starting. The kid from Duke's not going to play. If the kid from Duke played, I think Buffalo could have given Kansas City their first loss of the season at home.
Me too.
But I got to leave it alone now because there's just no way. You know what I mean?
I'm exactly with you. I thought when I was looking at this, I was thinking Kansas City hasn't had their bye yet. Their bye is next week, so they're primed for a letdown. They're still undefeated, you know. This has upset written all over it, but as soon as they said that their quarterback's out, now they're going with their whatever fourth quarterback of the year. I mean, there's no way Buffalo. But the upset is there.
And you know what? They may still upset them, but I just don't see Jeff Toole. I don't see Jeff Toole taking a CJ Spiller. I don't even think he's playing.
He's very limited.
He's like questionable at best. He didn't even work out on Friday.
Around Buffalo.
All right, let's go to the next game. Philadelphia's at Oakland. I love the Raiders here. Can you believe the Raiders are only giving up 1 point? What is Vegas doing? Do they just hate the Raiders that much, or do the people in Oakland hate them that much?
I guess everyone just kind of expects Chip Kelly's offense to go back to how it was.
Ain't going to happen.
I don't know.
Nick Foles, come on.
Terrell Pryor, though, is a menace right now. That guy is looking like a
he
great,
jogged 95 yards. Roy, he jogged 95 yards for a touchdown last week on the first play.
I loved watching him. He was he verbal commit to West Virginia and ended up going to Ohio State. He was supposed to play under Rich Rod, and then Rich Rod left. So I've always loved Fryer, man. I've had an eyeball on him since he was in high school. And
yeah.
He's a freak.
No, he is. I like Oakland minus one. This is actually a 4-star for me. And I'm leaving the total alone because it's, you know, with Foles at quarterback, you don't know what the Eagles are going to do. Plus, LeSean McCoy, he's angry. He's not happy. Nobody in Philly's happy right now. I'm going to leave him alone. But I'm taking Oakland minus the one. I can't even believe it's 1 point. If the Eagles win this game, I'm gonna be walking outside for an hour with my dog. The next game, Tampa Bay at Seattle. You know, it's our boy Shiano again. Seattle looks
poor
so.
Shiano.
Hey, Seattle's on a short week. They looked horrible. They've lost 3 points. They're at minus 14.5 now. I'm still taking them. You know why? Because I don't see Tampa Bay scoring more than 7 to 10 points. I see a 27-7 game here. I just think, plus I got Russell Wilson on my fantasy team. He better score some touchdowns.
Yeah.
We'll talk fantasy football if we have a minute later, but I'm taking Seattle in the under here. The under's 40.5. Well, Tampa Bay's not going to score more than 10 points, so, and I don't see Seattle scoring against Tampa's defense more than 20, do you?
Well, Sidney Rice is out. That's a huge blow.
That's what I mean. I mean, I like the under here. I like the under.
I mean, not that they really need Sidney Rice against Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
but if you're looking for Seattle to put up like 48 points this week, I don't think it's going to happen.
All right, listen. Hey, without Percy Harvin, name their number five receiver. Nobody can.
Golden Tate, I think.
No, he's hurt. Remember, Golden Tate got hurt last week. Did right at the end of the game. Yeah. He's questionable too, I think. No, I just think they're in trouble. Let's go to the next game. Baltimore at Cleveland. I'm waiting on this for a goofball next, but who do you like? Do you like the Ravens minus one? Everybody in the world is playing the Ravens. Take Cleveland.
I will take Cleveland.
All right. If Tony likes Cleveland, I'm definitely taking the Ravens. No,
you don't
I'm
have to
kidding.
Give me any points for that one. I will love Cleveland.
Love Cleveland here. Okay.
I don't think the Ravens are legit. I think that the Cleveland has a much better defense.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, Cleveland has their big gun weapon back in Josh Gordon.
Right.
And they have a great tight end. And, you know, Willis McGahee is the running back who doesn't even really have to do anything.
Yeah.
He gets to sit back and watch. You know, a North Turner offense who actually has weapons.
Yeah.
And if the Ravens are going to try to keep up with, you know, a pass offense, because you know Norv is going to come out slinging the rock.
Yeah.
That's what Norv does.
Yeah.
If the Ravens, you know, that's what Norv does.
He goes along. You know what? Look at Phillip Rivers. It's like he died and went to heaven. He is 75% of his passes he's completed. That's unbelievable. Well, with Norv, he had to throw the ball 60 yards like every other play.
He's got a little water pistol on.
Yeah, he does. but you know what? It's real good for those little crossing patterns, and he's got what's-his-name healthy. You're going to take Cleveland. I got a feeling I like them too, but I'm passing on the game. I kind of like the under a little bit, but I'm going to leave it alone. You know why? If Jason Campbell looks as good as he did last week, they're going to put some points on the Ravens at home.
Yeah, and he's a vet, and I tell you what, if you have Jordan Cameron in your fantasy league, that dude's about to blow up because Jason Campbell loves tight end.
All right, let's go to the next one. I love Jason Campbell too. Oh, that kid's a stud, isn't he? That kid never caught the ball until this year. but you know what's amazing? And I don't want to spend more than 5 seconds on it. What was Norv thinking? Why didn't they put Campbell in there earlier? I mean, even instead of Hoyer. Or Moyer, or whatever his name is.
I guess Hoyer would have a better answer than that. But I guess
he's an idiot.
The organization really loves Hoyer. I don't know.
All right. Do you like the Pats or do you like the Steelers today? The Steelers are getting 5.5 right now. We got a minute, Roy, right here.
I think the Patriots are going to blow them out. I'm waiting for Gronkowski to have that show up game, that I'm back game.
All right. Here's the big question. What is Tom Brady going to wear? What did Giselle pick out for Tom to wear at the press conference after the game? Is he going to look like Hugh Hefner, or is he going to look like Matt Damon? What's he going to be dressed like?
He's going to have a pair of designer slacks on, probably a pair of Uggs, maybe a silk shirt, and his hair will be comb back with sunglasses.
Oh, he would never wear sunglasses at a presser.
So no white beater and cut off.
So
shorts.
You're taking the Pats minus the point. They are playing at home. They do still cheat probably a little bit there. So I think you're right. And by the way, the Steelers, they're just not that good. Houston and Indy tonight. Who do you like? I like Houston. I'm taking the upset.
I want to pick Houston so bad.
Take them.
I don't believe that they're my Super Bowl team. I just can't. I want Houston to go to the Super Bowl just so I can be
it's
right.
It's not going to happen.
They're so bad. So,
all right.
No, I got Indy. Andrew Luck.
Yeah, but they're dinged up a little bit. Listen, Roy, if you don't hear Tony on the next segment, call back in. All right,
we'll do.
You got it.
For
the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on AM 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back. It was nice hearing from Roy. You know what? I always worry about him because he is a party animal. And Roy, by the way, will be working my 60th birthday party. He's a hell of a DJ, too. And so is the guy we're getting ready to have on the air here in a minute, Tony Mazur from Cleveland, Ohio. Tony's now with, he's got a show. He's on Yahoo Sports now. Yeah. You know what? We always find him young and we love him. And I like him. I like Tony. I like Tony a lot. And by the way, he looks nothing in his pictures like he sounds. I was thinking Tony was going to be this kind of little.
I'm thinking clean. I haven't seen him. Oh, I'm thinking clean cut.
You've seen pictures of him. You're a liar.
I'm thinking 5.
Matt's lying.
6. 170 pounds.
Yeah, it looks. It's about exactly
right.
What he looks like.
Oh.
He looks good. Tony's not a bad looking guy.
As long as I have, you can judge.
Tony's not a bad looking guy. If we were in prison, I wouldn't mind having him for a roommate.
Oh God.
Anyway, haven't you ever heard that? I'm a comedian. Anyway, I'm sitting here looking. We got a call in?
No.
You're just pretending to laugh for me. I love it when you do that. I'm going to go back over the picks one more time because that's what we hear people want to hear when they listen to the show. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give them to you one last time. Take Carolina. I love the pick. It's 4 stars. Take the Cowboys. We got a phone call.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, is this Tony?
No, this is Will Schill.
Will Schill's.
Yeah.
You're calling in. Hey, Will.
Yes, I'm calling in.
Hey, Will, you got to do me a favor. Well, you won't know if anybody's
sure.
calling in, right?
Well,
you know if Tony's calling in?
Yeah.
Hey, Will, call me back in 10 minutes. Can you do that for me? We're waiting on a guy to call in right now.
Yeah, sure. It's really important, though.
All right, what do you want to know, Will? This is a call.
I
want to
know if should I start Henry Douglas or Terrence Williams in my fucking
spot?
Oh,
Terrence Williams. It's not even close. Harry Douglas
really?
Is... Harry Douglas plays for Atlanta. They suck in general. You know,
the guy,
Dallas is going to put 500-600 yards on the board today. Yeah, if it's a Cowboy playing.
Julio Jones and Riley White's out.
Well, Julio Jones is out, dude. Did you not know that? Julio Jones is done for. He's done for the season.
This has to be one of Roy's friends, right?
No, this is Davis's friend. They're going to the game.
Okay.
He's my son's best friend.
Yeah.
Right,
well, we
got a call. You need to hang up now, buddy. I'll talk to you later. Did you hang up on him?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tony, are you there?
Tony.
Oh, I'm here.
Hey, it's good to have you. Hey, Tony, we finally get a call in, and it's my son's best friend, and he's talking fantasy football with me. But he calls when you're calling. Hey, listen, thanks for calling in, buddy. I saved the Cleveland game for you. Let's talk Jason Campbell. I told you he ain't bad, is he?
He's not bad. He's not great, but he's not.
No, but he knows how to. But he knows how to play football. You know,
he knows how to take a hit from being.
He went 12-0 with an Auburn team that was ranked number one in the country when the season was over. Didn't they win the national championship? They did. The year he was a senior, and he was the 30th pick in the draft. He was the last pick in the first round of the draft. Norv drafted him. I mean, you know, he was their pick. which is uh-huh. which Saddam is
and he's the and he's been he's been watching
he's been watching you guys play. Tell me what you think is going to happen in that game, because to me it's an interesting game. To me it looks like an under, but I'm scared of the under because I'm scared of Jason lighting it up. What do you think?
I agree with that. I think, but the problem is, I think we're looking at, and I'm going to seg into this really quickly as soon as I say this.
Sure.
I think we're looking at a field goal fest.
I hope so.
I think we're looking at an AFC North matchup. And let me ask you guys this. If you were to take the AFC North All-Stars, let's put an All-Star team of the AFC North and have them take on the NFC East.
Right.
Who wins? Who wins?
Oh, well, the NFC, well, that's a good question. Probably the AFC North, yeah. Because the East.
That's a hard question.
I was going to say that I see more talent in the East, though.
In the NFC East?
I agree with that.
Or NFC East.
Well, no, I don't see it. I don't see it because I know the Redskins too well. The Giants are looking for... They're in dire need of a complete makeover. The Eagles are lost right now because no one can tackle on the defensive side of the ball. Oh, and they're out there 36 minutes a game, by the way. I like Cleveland. And you know, the Ravens, even though the Ravens are struggling right now, in this, you know, they're going to get better. They always get better. Have you ever noticed that? They don't stay bad long, Tony.
Well, let me tell you this, though.
Okay.
Joe Flacco, in his career – playing the Browns, has never lost.
Yeah, he's undefeated.
Never lost.
Yep. 11-0, right? In the 11-0 or something?
Yep. And
11-0.
The Ravens have won the last 15 games against the Browns.
He's elite. Matt just said he's elite. Roy would argue with you and I, but I you know what? I'm still not a Flacco hater, even though I released him from my fantasy team. I did. I had to. Shit, he's terrible. Anyway, hey, Tony. Let me ask you a question here. It's going to be a field goal. Who's the better field goal kicker, though? I like Tucker with Baltimore. Who do you like? Do you like the Cleveland guy?
No, I'm going to go with Tucker only because you know what happened with Billy Cundiff when he had that Ravens uniform. He's susceptible to some of those shanks. I mean, that was a bad miss. And that haunts him. And I have to believe that that's going to be in his head at some point today. Even though it's in Cleveland today, the game's in Cleveland, but
yeah.
He's taking on those purple uniforms, and you just wonder, he's getting, it's like post-traumatic stress, or post-war, it's like, you know, like, oh my God.
Let me tell you, nobody takes down, we got, by the way, Tony Mazur with Yahoo Sports on the line. Hey, I was looking at your show, it looks like a good show, Tony.
I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, I'm looking forward to it. Tell everybody what night it's on.
We do a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We're trying to expand to 5 days, but we do 3 days a week, mm-hmm. And you can find it on the Yahoo Sports Podcast Center, Podcast One, and iTunes. It's called The Sports Hub. I do it with a gentleman by the name of John Cupo, which is interesting because John is a Clevelander who's never done radio in Cleveland.
But he knows Cleveland.
Yes, he does. But we don't always talk Cleveland sports, obviously. We talked about Dez Bryant last week, and
everybody was talking about Dez Bryant. I was so tired of seeing that daggone tape. I couldn't even stand it.
Wasn't T.O. saying that the criticism of him is racist or something? And it's like, look, come on.
There's nothing racist in the NFL. I mean, it's 75% black, for crying out loud, isn't it?
Something like that.
I mean, it's like, you know, the thing I love about the NFL is it's talented and nobody really plays a race card anymore. They haven't played race cards for years in the NFL. People put their best players on the field, period. And, oh, by the way, some of the best coaches in the NFL are black, too. What a surprise. They're the best players, so they're going to be the best coaches. You know, I'm so tired of hearing about race. It's a damn election year. Everybody's talking about race. It's crap. It's crap.
What I find interesting, and I'm blanking.
How'd you like that? Was that good, Tony? Did I say that well enough? Good. Go ahead.
I forgot what his first name is, but Abdullah, he played with the Broncos. I think he had a cup of coffee with the Browns, and he went on a Twitter rant. I don't know if you saw this. I think it was a Tuesday, and he was railing on the NFL, saying, F Roger Goodell, F the Players Association, who doesn't stick up for the players, and saying that the players are on a plantation, or the NFL is a plantation and the players are slaves. And it's just, I don't know if you can equate that, especially if you're an NFL player, that you willingly sign up to start playing football, cadet football, and you go all the way up to high school, then you play college, and you get picked in the pros.
He's a bitter young man. And let me tell you, I know who it is you were talking about, and I can't think of his name either, but he's a guy that did, I mean, he's been around. Here's what I think. Two words I have for a guy like that: medication, therapy. That's what he needs, because he's got severe anxiety and depression problems to just go out like that. He sounded like Marcus Vick. Marcus Vick has problems.
You'd have to say
Marcus Vick doesn't. Marcus Vick can't afford the good drugs to do anymore that he's been doing for years, because Michael won't give him any money anymore, because he's not smart enough to do the right thing with any money he gets from Mike, probably. And that's my opinion, but that's why guys like that reach out and scream and holler. What else are they going to do? He's not playing anymore. You know, Marcus Vick was on the Miami roster. Remember that? They gave him shot in the NFL, and he screwed that up. How do you do that?
Genetics.
No, not absolutely not true. Mike Vick just looked at himself as an entrepreneur. And, of course, a lot of people could catch a lot of flack about that, saying, hey, well, you know, in certain circles, dogfighting is cool. You know what? I don't care what it is. When you're hanging dogs and slamming their head up against trees to kill them, that's not cool, period. You know, the other stuff is a part of that. That's what makes it not cool. But, no, you're absolutely right. Let's get back to this Cleveland game, though, Tony. And, by the way, you're a handsome young man. I finally saw pictures of Tony Mazur on Facebook this week with your girlfriend or whoever that was. Or, God, please tell me that was your girlfriend. Because it was on Facebook.
I paid a girl to stand next to me. That's what happened.
But, Tony, you don't look anything like I thought you'd look like. I thought you'd be this little guy, kind of just a, you know, just look a little wider and a little shorter. You're a good-looking guy, man. You're working out. You working out?
Yeah, I try to.
All right, now there's a special woman in your life. Is that who this young lady is?
Yeah, that's my girlfriend, and we actually came back because when I was on with you guys last week, we were coming back. We drove from Texas all the way back to Cleveland. We drove deep San Antonio all the way to Cleveland, which is a 24-hour drive. So I was talking to you guys. I think I was 5 Red Bulls in when I talked to you guys last week. No such thing this week, though.
Well, hey, did she drive too?
She drove from San Antonio to Dallas. I drove from Dallas to Cleveland.
Yeah, so well, that worked out well. Now listen, Roy took the Browns. You like the Browns, correct?
I'm gonna go with the Browns today.
Do you like them? What's your pick of the week? We got a minute.
You know, I.
Oh, you haven't looked.
No, seriously, my pick of the week was the Browns.
I got to take the Browns. I got to take Browns. That's your favorite pick. I'm scared of the game. I like the under. I like the under. And I hope you're right.
My track record the past couple weeks hasn't been too good. I mean, I said last week.
Who did you pick last week? Kansas City?
No, I picked. I said Atlanta was going
to
be.
Oh, Detroit. You took Detroit.
I picked Detroit a couple weeks ago and they lost. But
and then you took Atlanta last week. Atlanta's so bad. They're so bad, Tony. They just are. My, you know, we haven't done my straight cash homie. You know when my straight cash homie is? Tomorrow night, Green Bay. I love Green Bay. I love Green Bay. I love the over. I love Green Bay and the over. Love it all. All right, play it one more time. This is for Tony. The Cleveland Browns is
straight cash homie.
You know what? We've got to have Randy. We got to have Moss on sometime. He'll come on the show. I'm sure he will, because he's crazy. We'll just have to have the guy up at studio with the button ready to go with him.
Yeah, maybe it for him.
You could have. I'd rather have Dexter Manley on. Did you hear?
Oh my God! I heard him say it. It was lovely. It was on WTOP. It was unbelievable. But you know what? With all due respect to him, that wasn't news what he was talking about. Just between me and you and a rock and a hard place. Hey, listen, Tony, thanks for coming on. Tony Mazur, Yahoo Sports. This is Bruce Hall for Matt Lynch. We're bye-bye. We'll see you next week. Drive careful. And, hey, be careful out there, people. There's people that can't drive on the road.
Especially in Maryland.
We'll see you later.